This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The guys on The Big Show have been going at it for 3 hours, but they haven't crashed and burned. Yet. Time to reset today's big topics and let you pick a lane. Brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragaway in Union Grove. Purchase your 2020 season passes at GreatLakesDragaway.com.
Clock hour of the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the free radio.com app. That means Great Lakes Dragaway pick a lane, and that's always one of the fun parts of the show. And Mike Clemens will join us at 5:35, but leaping into the studio with Carlson, Blau, and Clemens. Get the injury settlement you deserve with Milwaukee's preferred personal injury law firm at 414-342-1000. He's the soon-to-be Hall of Famer, Leap 36, Leroy Butler.
Y'all boys, funny, man.
We try to be. Been good. Been a lot of fun today. A lot of good jokes, no doubt about it.
414-799-1250. We need a podcast so we can curse and yell at each other and say all kind of racist stuff.
I don't need
stuff.
To curse because I'm saved.
Let's say all kind of weird stuff.
I'm saved.
People been making money on that stuff, man. They say all kind of racist stuff and talk about each other mamas and all. People sell. Man.
Well, your boy, Dan Plucker, Heffin' Dan on the Fan, their podcast is up. And Dan Plucker's out there dropping F bombs like flies, man.
I don't believe it. He's the more straight laced guy we got.
No, man, I'm telling you. You got to check it out. Heffin' Dan on the Fan at 1057FMTheFan.com. This dude's dropping them like all over the place.
The good news is the boss just found out about that podcast and said he's going to listen between now and next Monday. So
what? It's funny.
Yeah, okay. I think you guys will be all right. I think you guys
ain't got nothing to worry about. That's where you can do it at. Just don't do it on this show.
Right, yeah. Or say something like we had at about 2:48, no doubt about it. 414-799-1250. Leap, let's start with you as we reset the big topics here on the Wendy's Big Show.
Yep.
Did this NFC title game loss hurt Aaron Rodgers' legacy? That's the right lane for everyone at 414-799-1250.
Well, you know what? His legacy is ongoing. But if it froze today, yes, of course. They're the one people that get wins. Brett Favre at one point was all-time winningest quarterback. Peyton Manning was all-time, you know, winningest quarterback. I mean, that's why you pay them $30 million. They can handle the scrutiny. They're supposed to handle it, good or bad.
Sure.
They get way too much credit, and sometimes they get too much blame. So the one person who can handle it should be the one who make the most. Because you can't have it both ways. You can't be saying you're the most, people say he's the most talented, you know, thrower and all that good stuff, which I agree with, you know, whatever
sure.
they want to say. But at the same time, games like this, people, because you know what was brought up in the barbershop?
What is
the guy
barbershop
said, people? Give me all the quarterbacks that beat Aaron Rodgers in championship games. And how good are they? And I said, well, Russell Wilson, you know.
Hall of Famer.
Then they brought up Kaepernick.
Carson Palmer.
Ain't even playing no more. You know, I don't know what Garoppolo. I don't know what Garoppolo's going to be. I don't know what Matt Ryan is going to be. But that's what people look at. And I think it's a fair question. But at the same time, I think it's ongoing. If he wins a Super Bowl, or when he wins a Super Bowl, you can erase all of that.
Sure.
You do. You get a clean slate when you win the Super Bowl. That gave him... The Super Bowl gave him 10 years of working capital, a decade of straight working capital. 2010 is when they won it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That gives you enough working capital where if people scrutinize you or say something negative about you, the fan base will just go after you because you've earned the right for people not to blame you. But when you're the best of anything, of whatever, it didn't have to be football. You're the best of anything, and when you're not the best anymore, these are the questions that you get. I think it's fair.
Sparky, do you believe the NFC title game loss hurt Rodgers' legacy?
No, I don't think so, because maybe I'll be wrong, but I think once he's done, you know, 10 years after he's done playing, people are going to be talking about, you know, how great of a quarterback was, his quarterback rating career.
No, they're not.
He never threw any interceptions.
No.
He never killed him in the postseason.
No.
It was because Ted didn't get him any weapons and like he needed. The defense was horrible his entire time there after the first one. No. He's not going to get the blame that Brett Favre got. It's just not going to happen. Brett Favre got blamed every time they lost a playoff game. It was Brett Favre's fault. Aaron never gets the blame when they lose a playoff game. It's the defense. It's the coaching. It's McCarthy and him aren't on the same page. Ted didn't do enough to help him out. Didn't get many free agents. Everybody's got a reason for why it's not Aaron's fault, and it's been that way most of his career.
Aaron, most of the people say, as you said, they only won one championship with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brett got to two and won one and lost one.
Saying,
and
then got one. Yep. That's a shame y'all wasted these two quarterbacks.
I agree.
Wasted.
I'm with you.
Oh, they're going to bring it up if you don't win another one.
But it'll be both of them together when they have that conversation.
But Favre, but here's the other stratosphere that it gets into, Gary, because Brett Favre was still brought up when the NFL Top 100 came out, and understandably so. I was glad that he was on. I had my reservations if somebody was going to try to shortchange him, maybe like they did Derek Jeter. But there's the different rings of the ladder that you get into when you appear in multiple. And now 1-3 in NFC title games and losing three in the last 6 years. I don't know exactly how many of those guys have been able to get to that many. But do you believe that this loss will hurt his legacy moving forward?
I'm with Leroy. I think he has time to rectify it. But as of today, yes. I mean, I think at the end of the day, you start – he's still a Hall of Famer. Okay, first ballot.
Let's just get that out there,
right? But when you start talking about Joe Montana, you start talking about Tom Brady, you start talking about these guys with three or two or more Super Bowl wins.
Mm-hmm.
He can't be in the conversation with those guys. Because then they look at how many NFC Championship games he lost. Like it, whether fair or unfair, it feels like quarterbacks get all the credit when they win, and they get none of the blame when they lose, i.e. C. Joel. He gave you all the NFC Championship game, and he did all the three of them that he lost, he did not blame Aaron Rodgers for any of those. I think one was McCarthy, one was Ted, and one was somebody defense maybe. Oh, no. He blames Zadarius for the last one. I go, oh, because you can't blame Zadarius. You at least blame Petty. Let's just keep it straight even. You can't blame players. You ain't going to lay no blame on the best player. So with that being said, folks know that it is a legacy builder on what you're doing and how many championships you win or lose. At the end of the day, he will be judged on how many Super Bowls he won. Not appearances, but how many Super Bowls he won and how many he really didn't get to. Because what they say about Tom Brady? Clutch.
Mm-hmm. Cheater.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. And a lot will also say that he went to 9 straight AFC title games.
Clutch. They clutch. But you know what I don't hear about Peyton Manning? I don't hear clutch in Peyton Manning.
Nope, because he was a choke.
Although Peyton Manning is a better record in AFC title games against Tom Brady than Tom Brady does against Peyton Manning.
But Joe Money, what'd you hear about Joe Money? Clutch.
Sure.
Right? So these quarterbacks with all these Super Bowls that you hear clutch, and reason why you hear clutch because they've got to more Super Bowls and won more Super Bowls than these other guys.
414-799-1250. That's the right lane here in the center lane. Are the Bucs being disrespected nationally? Sparky, you saw this after the Zion Williamson affair for the final 308 that he played last night, hitting 17 straight points.
That comes off the website Barstool Sports. This line in the article talking about Zion Williamson. for a season that's been sort of slogging around with no true dominant team. Bucks are going to win 70 games, but they're not dominant. Ratings down across the board. No reigning dynasty. Stephen Durant out. No one fully believing in the Milwaukee Bucks. This just woke everyone up. Then he goes on to say, I am saying that Zion is now my MVP frontrunner for this season and every season after this. Now you tell me. You tell me. I'm sorry. They are dominant. There haven't been many teams to win 70 games, and they're on pace to do just that right now. So that blows my mind. And then to say, okay, we don't believe in the Bucks either. But again, they're on pace to win 70 games. I'm not quite sure what else has to happen other than winning the damn thing in order for there to be them to be considered a dominant team and for people to believe in them. This stuff drives me crazy, Leroy.
Smallest market. That's all it is. Smallest market. Their market is not that big, but you're talking about the number one overall player, and you've been waiting for a big buildup. And some people thought he was just going to be a bust. Guy played great, man. Mm-hmm. Didn't have that. See, if I was the Bucks, I wouldn't even care. I wouldn't even care.
Well, I don't think they'd care, but Bucks fans will care.
I don't think the Bucks fans should care. You're arguing with yourself. You got the best team that speaks for itself, and you got the MVP. Maybe win it back to back. Don't know. But, I mean, you're punching down.
Sure. Nobody's been able to go back to back like that since Drake.
So that's all I know. Right.
414-799-1250. That's the center lane. But in the left lane, something that Leroy Butler brought up yesterday, was 2019 a fluke for the Green Bay Packers?
Man, if you talk to people on all the openings that they want to upgrade, it's a head scratcher how they won 14 games. I mean, we're talking about they want an inside linebacker, they're gonna need a right tackle, they're gonna need this, they're gonna need that. Oh man. It was just, how do you explain it? I mean, because if you championship, next year should be Super Bowl. But you got that one team that's in your way that's in the Super Bowl. I think this will go down as one of those head-scratcher types, but they're probably reserved to see what happens next year. Now, if they decline next year, yeah, they're going to say, man, if you look at the record from 2019, man, I don't know. I know they play a lot of terrible quarterbacks, but now you're going to play a number one schedule. Well, the schedule's already out of who you play. So, and they're going to see if you beat these teams.
And they got to go to San Francisco again next year. They get Tennessee at home. They get Jacksonville at home. But other than that, I mean, they got to go to New Orleans on that schedule. There's some dangerous runs there.
Yeah, but also people are going to say how much, and even the Packers talked about how much daylight is between them and San Francisco. I mean, and then how good are these other teams are going to be? But I said this, though.
Here's why. The
NFC is kind of watered down, but you play Detroit twice. You play Minnesota twice. You know, Chicago twice. You're going to be in the playoffs. But now what do you do when you get to the playoffs?
That's the next question.
Destiny.
And what do you do when you get to the Wisconsin Indoor Golf Center? Do you play Torrey Pines, where Tiger Woods is trying to go for number 83 on tour wins this year? Or, I mean, Pebble Beach?
Well, I'm going Pebble Beach, genius, guys. Man. I'm going to Pebble Beach. Guys, there's snow on the ground out
there. Depends on where the water is.
If you love golf, the Wisconsin Indoor Golf Center is your place to keep your swing in mid-season groove all winter long. They have the latest state-of-the-art high-definition golf simulators, including three new true golf simulators on more than 100 leading courses like Pebble Beach, Doral, Pinehurst, and others. As you swing away with your friends while enjoying pizza, wings, and full alcohol bar while it's winter outside. Don't let your golf swing go into hibernation, folks. Keep it fresh at Wisconsin Indoor Golf Center. For details, check them out on Facebook or online at WisconsinIndoorGolfCenter.com.
6 o'clock, it's the Bud Light Huddle. I'll be joining Bart Winkler along with the big unit Bill Michaels live at the New Berlin Ale House. It's Great Lakes Dragway. Pick a lane until then. Right here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. .7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the free radio.com app. I'll be on with the Bud Light Huddle with Bill Michaels and Bart Winkler coming up here at 6 o'clock. It's the Wendy's Big Show, Great Lakes Dragway, Pick a Lane, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, and I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch. until Mike Clement stops by at 5:35. Let's get right to it. George is on the north side. He's up on the fan. George, pick a lane. You're on the Wendy's Big Show.
Hey, so the lane, tell me the lanes again, because I was at work. What are the lanes?
That's all good.
We'll talk about
Let's go with the first one. Did the NFC Championship hurt Aaron Rodgers' legacy? George, that's the right lane. The center lane, are the Bucs being disrespected nationally? And the left lane, was 2019 a fluke for your Green Bay Packers?
I'm not a Packer fan, so I'm just let that be known. But I do give good observation. I don't try to, just because I ain't a Packer fan. But I'm going to pick the lane as far as 2019 being a fluke. Winning 13 games ain't no fluke. That's being disrespectful to grown men in football. They won the game. They played the games that was in front of them, and they won. What it is they wasn't well-equipped to move to the Super Bowl based off, to me, and this is what I wanted to ask you guys, and it's just my opinion, is the fact is it is all on the GM, period, to get everybody needed in order for your defensive coordinator to have great players. The GM has to bring them in. On offense, defense, special teams, and hiring of coaches, it is the GM. It starts there. Who else bringing the players in? Who's signing these guys? It's not the players themselves. So it has to fall on the steps of the GM, whether he's new or old or whatever. You still have the responsibility. You have a quarterback that's down to about 3 years, and it's so sad that y'all got 40 years of quarterback play and two rings. So if they don't move forward in a rapid pace, meaning hitting – free agency, forget the draft, then y'all going to blow it and waste the rest of his years. And I'm going to sit back and listen to y'all talk.
Appreciate it, George. And I mean, that's been the fear, I think, for all Packer fans for a long time here. But, like, once it comes down to brass tacks and we're getting close enough to the end, and Aaron Rodgers even talks about not being necessarily in his prime anymore, Sparky, I think those conversations may get a little bit more urgent. But also, I want to see year – this would be three now for Brian Gutekunst as the general manager, but – he earned enough trust on my end for free agency this year. The draft on the other side, that maybe is a little bit give or take. But free agency-wise, I do trust that he will put a team together, or at least improvements for this team going into next year.
Yeah, you'd think so. I mean, I don't know if he's going to have a, you know, he's going to have a situation where he hits a free agent class where he's not going to miss
like last year. No,
all right, where he's not going to miss. He may miss on a free agent. He may miss on a couple of free agents. He certainly didn't hit on all of his draft picks in the last couple of years. So that really, if you're looking for an area of improvement out of this front office, is to hit on a couple more draft picks than when you've hit on Rashawn Gary. Was not a hit this last year. Savage played okay, fine. I'll give you that. But then where do you go after that? Who are we talking about from this draft class? Really after that. And that to me is Jenkins, obviously, at guard was obviously a huge hit. So he hit two and then missed kind of on the rest of it appears. And then the year before that, same type of deal. You look around and go, okay, looking at that draft class, who did he really hit on from 2 years ago? That's where it has to improve. His drafting has to get better this year. He needs more impact players in this draft class.
Let's go to Steve in West Bend. Steve, you're on the Wendy's Big Show.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
All right. I just want to preface this by, I want to say, one, I am definitely a huge Packers fan. Two, I only get to listen to you guys about an hour a day or so, or the station about an hour a day.
But how dare you, like, only listen to us for an hour a day, Steve?
I know,
goodness gracious.
I
hope it's the hour when I'm on the show.
No.
hang up on this guy.
Click.
Go ahead.
I wanted to pick the center lane. I feel like the Bucs have been very underrated, not only by national media, but I feel like local media as well. I check out the website all the time, 105.7 FM, the Fan. And like the last week, the only Bucs coverage that's been in there is, like, besides post games, which are great, listen to those every time I work out, is like a 10-minute piece with Bill Michaels and Eric Dane. Like from yesterday or so, and like last week. And I get it. It's been a glut of Packers coverage. Totally understand. But even going back like last month when the Bucs had that 18-game winning streak, I'm in the car every morning, 7 to 7:30, and I felt like the only time the Bucs were talked about was when they finally lost to the Mavericks.
Yeah, that's true.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. Packers are king, and that's kind of how the world works in sports talk radio at this point.
And I get that, being a Wisconsin sport.
Yeah, I'll play two. Yeah, they played 2,000 games. You got plenty of time. I mean,
I'd say. It feels like there hasn't been enough coverage even locally,
pick up.
And it's been a little disappointing.
All right. Okay, sure. Sounds good. All right, okay.
And we got to do our part too.
All right.
I mean, as a show,
go get him, Steve.
Sure.
All right, look, yes, I understand your frustration, right? Growing up here as a Bucks fan, we had nothing. We didn't have call-in post-game shows when I was growing up. We had no talk of the Bucks whatsoever. The flagship never talked about them either. It was Packers into Brewers and maybe an interview with George Karl, and that was about the extent of
it,
right?
Love George Karl.
That's all it was. So now here we are all these years later, and now you have call-in post-game show after Bucks games with Baby Tausch, Sidney Moncrief, Basketball Hall
Friday
of Famer.
Too.
He joins them from time to time, including tomorrow after the game in Paris here on the Big Show. We'll be talking to Sidney Moncrief, so we're looking forward to that. And then, you know, you talked about Eric Name. Okay, fine. Eric Name's on this show on Thursdays. Matt Velasquez, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from the Bucks. He's on Chuck and Winkler on Thursday mornings,
and on the
I believe.
Game with me, too.
And he was in Paris, so he joined them from Paris this morning, Chuck and Winkler. Listen, do we talk Bucks as much as you want us to talk Bucks during the Packers season? No.
Ain't going to happen.
But part of the reason is because Packers are number one in this market.
And the Packers Brewers are winning.
The Brewers are number two and the Bucks are number three, based on size of fan bases and everything else. And if you go around the state, there's even a bigger gap probably between the Brewers and the Bucks at this point. They're closing the gap for sure with Giannis, superstardom, and everything else. There's definitely becoming more and more Bucks fans.
All I really tell Bucks is one of the Packers are at the Bucks game. I mean, to be
that's 100. Yeah.
But it's so many games, though. So it'll be, you got full attention now. They got full attention.
Well, that's true.
Moving forward, because you got the Pro Bowl this week, Super Bowl, then Bucks is your show.
And on this,
we haven't even gotten to the All-Star break yet.
And on this show, to be quite honest, we know we do our Buzz of the Day every day with Billy, right? And we do Bucks talk in the buzz, even when we were talking Packers, that we would normally throw Bucks into that Buzz of the Day to give a little Bucks talk in there outside of an interview we did or whatever else talking about the Bucks. Right?
And it does. It picks up here, too, because, I mean, obviously you want to talk about playoff stretch now.
But the Packer fans are not transitioning to the Bucks. They're not.
But former Packers do, and Gary Ellison.
They're transitioning into following the combine, which is but that fan base, you never have those guys. You're never going to get those guys, so they ain't going to hurt you.
Big D3 offensive lineman balling out at the Senior Bowl this
but
week.
But national, that's where it's, you know, it's an issue.
Sure.
I mean, because they, trust me, they want to see a train wreck with like four or five teams. They want to see teams, the L.A. teams do well. The Bucks are always going to go through that. So all they have to do is just keep winning and don't care.
Really want to see somebody do some really good work on my house. And I know J&J Contractors would do just that.
Oh, most definitely my good friends at J&J Contractors. You got to call Jason, though. I'm going to give you a point guy to go talk to, and that's J&J Contractors. But you got to talk to Jason. Jason is the point guy that you need to talk to, directly to the owner, guys. That's who I'm going to give you. And most of these guys, when I talk to you about owners, Gina Della from Pella, right? Straight, right? Dean Murray, right?
Oh, yeah.
Jury
yeah.
Center. Jason. At J&J Contract. Guys, you want to renovate your home. Say, redo your kitchen cabinets, countertops, add on livable space, fix out. Yeah, well, you can do your basement, right? Build out your basement.
Need to.
Put a bar or something down there, add into a man cave, or you can create maybe a kids' room, playroom, rec room. You could do that. You can add an extra bathroom onto your house, or you can renovate your bathroom. Renovate a bedroom in your house. Guys,
genius.
You can do that and so much more, but you got to call my friends up today at J&J Contractors, and that's for Jason.
Mike Clemens, our green and gold football reporter, is here next, memorializing the Green Bay Packers season on The Fan.
Three wide receiver set for the 49ers.
It's George Kittle at the bottom.
Somehow the handoff into the arms of Mostert. He's gone. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Just the perimeter plays, man. That's something we couldn't stop. I know we should have fixed that on the sideline, but we didn't. You know, that was probably something we didn't do, but now we know. And as we go on to next year, we'll be able to fix these situations when we're in them.
That's the call on Fox as Adarius Smith after the game. Packers getting drummed and down 27-0 at half in the NFC title game. And back from Santa Clara. And now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, our green and gold football reporter, Mike Clemens. Mike, I'm glad to know you got back. I know your body is just stuffed up with In-N-Out Burger. And now you can go and get some good food.
I didn't have one, man.
You can go get some good food at Pottawatomie. Hotel, gaming, dining, spas. It's all happening at Pottawatomie. Visit paysbig.com with Mike Clemens on the Fan.
So there's Za'Darius Smith. And Sparky was doing our extra coverage on the post game. And, you know, we played back that interview with Za'Darius and Preston Smith and then talked about, you know, I mean, how many times did they have to run that ball with the outside zone scheme against you guys and Mostert and before someone you make a change? And there you and says Sparky said, I found that very interesting that Za'Darius not only says, well, we didn't make any adjustments on the sideline, and maybe those will be adjustments we make next year. And then you talk to Matt LaFleur during the presser yesterday and the season. He takes questions for over a half hour, like 30 questions, and some detailed answers. And so then you ask him about, you know, what's going on. This is, you know, the 4 or 5 hours yesterday of people thinking, wow, maybe he's not going to bring back Mike Pettine. That was all warranted when you listen to the stuff that Matt LaFleur was saying from the podium in front of an auditorium full of media.
You know, you got to give San Francisco credit. They definitely outcoached us. And I just didn't feel like we played with the same urgency, the same tenacity, the same toughness. We didn't set the edge the same as we had been earlier this season. You know, it's disappointing because it's not like we didn't know what they were going to try to do. We knew exactly what they were going to try to do. We knew they were going to run the football. For them to be able to do that was extremely disappointing. I just didn't think we played with the same effort as what I had seen earlier in the season.
The effort word, Mike, just stands out to me. And I know he ends up saying that Mike Pettine's going to come back, but the energy and effort, a game away from the NFC title or the Super Bowl, I know Bill Huber kind of just asked it and goes, wait, you guys were a game away from the Super Bowl. How do you not have the effort?
Now, I felt watching through the binoculars, you know, at the stadium, that the guys were flying around, that I thought the offensive game plan looked good.
Mm-hmm.
And even though, you know, three and out, I just thought they're just a play or two away from breaking this. But there's no question, when you look up and all of a sudden it's 21-0, 27-0, you know, that's where the air was let out. I think that might also be what LaFleur is referring to, that, you know, it never came back in the second half. It's not like that you started coming up with turnovers or guys,
sure,
you know, flying around and all that. Now, you know, you got Tevin Coleman, who got taken out early in that tackle with Adrian Amos, and there was effort there because I saw Adrian standing back in the back of the huddle hiding because he had a pectoral injury, and he was able to get through another couple of series before the med staff said, hey, you're coming out.
Yeah.
You know, so there was effort there. LaFleur claims that he doesn't think he's going to need surgery for his pectoral. Another player that we talked about was, you know, do you think this guy will have surgery, is Rashawn Gary. Because, you know, we talk about that shoulder injury he had when he came up from Michigan. And he says, no, I don't think Rashawn is going to require surgery this year either. But then the question was, you know, Rashawn Gary showed some flashes there in the second half of the season. How do you think that Mike Pettine used him this year?
Another area where we need him on the field, and anytime you get a first round pick with the talent level of him, he needs to be out there, and we've got to look at ways to implement him more in our scheme. And also there's areas that I've talked to him about where he needs to improve upon in order to get out on the grass and be the consistent player that we think he can be.
Sounds to me very similar to Mike McCarthy saying, you know what, I don't know why Clay Matthews wasn't on the field on that third down.
Yep, that's exactly right.
You know, though, and there's some things that people were kind of overreacting to LaFleur saying, I don't know, we're going to make some changes and all that. McCarthy used to do that every year.
All the time, yeah. We've got to get that cleaned up, Mike.
They would lose on Sunday. They get this end-of-the-season presser out of the way by Wednesday or Thursday because the media wants to follow up on, all right, your final thoughts on that game. They kind of want to write that story. But the fact is, you just spent all day Monday doing exit interviews with players. You've reviewed the film. You're trying to say goodbye to, you know, 63 players, and you know, they're handing out the cards to these guys about, all right, here's what, when you come back April 20th, here's what your weight should be and all that kind of stuff. And there's still an awful lot of meetings and decisions. And now, instead of going to Ted or Brian, you know, this head coach has got to come up with a final plan and say to Mark Murphy, here's what we did wrong. Here's the changes I got to make. Here's some things I'm going to pitch to you. Here's some things I might need you to spend more money on, which includes maybe coaching turnover and all that.
Sure.
And Mark Murphy might have an opinion on this. So it's still a fluid situation, but the guy feels compelled to, you know, get the press conference out of the way within a couple of days of the last game. Even, and the other thing is, too, they like to sort of put it out there, and then they'll make the decisions, and then the doors are closed, and you don't have to they don't have to answer them right away. It's like, well, why'd you let that guy go?
Right.
You
know? Mike Clemens joining us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, courtesy of Potawatomi. Mike, Matt LaFleur is just so open and honest, and I loved his answer and his analysis of talking about the differences between the Rams offense, the Niners offense that we just saw, and his, because while they can all be disciples of each other, they are going to put their own spins on different offenses.
Well, one of the things that's missing is, you know, that I saw in OTAs and mini camps, and then it started to trail off during training camp, is what about the hurry up offense? The, you know, break the huddle quickly, run up to the line, snap, like you see a Sean McVay last year on their way to the Super Bowl, like you saw the 49ers pull off a couple of times. Or just the fact that the 49ers had Garoppolo, he only needed to throw the ball eight times. He's under center. He comes back. He's running the misdirection. And so LaFleur has said, you know, should this offense more look like what the Rams or the 49ers do?
Well, I think Kyle and Sean are two drastically different offenses when you look at them. So it's all about catering to your personnel. That's what you have to do as a coach. You've got to adjust. And I know we want to implement some more up-tempo offense. We'd like to get that. We never really got that going this year. It'll be a busy offseason. What I'm excited for is to really not only study yourself, but that gives you an opportunity to study what else is going on around the league.
And he's also going to be able to study his quarterback and see how much better he thinks maybe Aaron Rodgers can be in an offseason with Matt LaFleur. The other part of this that's fascinating, Mike, this guy hasn't had an offseason with the same team since that Atlanta team that went to the Super Bowl.
Matt LaFleur, yeah. I mean, including last year, just 1 year with the Titans. But, you know, you get back to the tempo of the offense thing, which was an important factor that LaFleur stressed when he came in here a year ago at this time. And so why is the game clock getting down to the last few seconds? It's because the quarterback is moving people around and, you know, he's making pre-snap reads and he's maybe making an adjustment and he's setting them up for good plays. That the, you know, the rookie coach says, all right, you know, that was a great call. Yeah, we got something out of it. But at the same time, you've got all 11, and they have to get in that tempo and that rhythm. And the idea is to get the defense on their heels. And I thought this was really interesting to hear from LaFleur about how can Aaron Rodgers personally improve and grow in this offense in 2020.
Being comfortable with some of the uncomfortable things that we've asked him to do. And, you know, I do think he was open-minded, and I appreciate that because certainly we asked him to play under center more than he has, especially in the, you know, more recent years. I thought he executed for the most part at a pretty high level, and I know the numbers weren't what you guys say were up to the standard or whatever, but I do think there was some really good play in there. I'm excited about moving forward into the future, really getting another off season with him.
So even though Aaron Jones had a great year, okay, the fact of the matter is, this is the thing that I thought I was seeing, was why isn't Rodgers under center? Because if you're not under center, then you can't do the thing that I saw them teaching Rodgers and the other quarterbacks, that you take the snap, you turn, and then you bend over, and you tuck that ball deep into your belly, and you take a couple steps back, and you reach back to that first halfback.
Yes.
In almost like draw fashion. Or you fake to him, and then you stick the ball out because you got a jet sweep coming around. Or you got a fullback or some other, maybe a tight end, somebody that you could do the toss from. And I saw Aaron Rodgers completely have to change his footwork and his style of running the football all through the spring and halfway through training camp. You get halfway through the season, and they're not doing it anymore. They did it on that one big scoring drive against the Bears, but they were getting away from that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, and it's because, as he says, well, you know, the veteran quarterback's got to be comfortable with it. Well, if they want to look at, like, as fast as what Kyle Shanahan's pitching to people, they're going to have to make those kinds of changes.
Mike, you think Mercedes Lewis is back next year?
No.
that was quick.
No.
No.
I think Jimmy Graham is gone. I think Mercedes Lewis is gone. I think Brian Bulaga is gone.
Although, oh, Mike, Brian Bulaga too?
I don't know what they're going to replace him with.
Sure.
Well, ask T.J. Lang or Josh Sitton how this all worked out.
Very true.
Yeah, but this is different. With all due respect to both of those guys, Rodgers and Bakhtiari have been lobbying for Bulaga all year long. This
well, they
is
don't
not
have anybody to back him up yet.
I understand, but there also is no Ted Thompson making this decision, and I just find it hard to believe that this general manager is going to feel comfortable walking into training camp and into that locker room with a rookie right tackle and having Rodgers, Bakhtiari, and everybody else on offense looking at him.
Can he pull off another Billy Turner? Can he get a 26-year-old from some other team somewhere and pay him some money? I don't know. The first thing he's got to do is sign Kenny Clark.
Yep, watch out for Jake Conklin from Tennessee.
But I'll tell you what, man. Mercedes Lewis didn't talk a lot this year, you know, kept it low. But when he did talk, he's always been straightforward. When he talked last year out of Green Bay, and you thought, oh, this guy doesn't think he's coming back.
Right.
He didn't think he was coming back. Remember those clips we played with him and Martellus Bennett?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you ask him straightforward, so after this past year, what do you think of Aaron Rodgers as a teammate? And I tell you what, he nailed it. Listen to this.
You know how he is. Like he's not a big rah-rah guy. He's gonna lead by example. He doesn't walk in here with a chip on his shoulder, even though he's, you know, been MVP a couple times and won a Super Bowl. You don't get that out of him. You know, he's a guy that wants to get better, wants to be great every day. And what more could you want from a guy that's been in the league for that long?
And that guy's been in the league, and he's been able to see some dudes play at a very, very poor level and a guy to play at a very, very high level and a lot in between, no doubt about it.
Yeah, so no BS from that guy. He's very straightforward. I think it's a very fair and accurate assessment of what it's like being in that locker room with Aaron Rodgers.
Mike, I appreciate all the work you've done. We really thank you for all the great stuff you've brought us all year long from up there at the locker room. Now go and go get some sleep. Go get some hibernation.
That sleep is for wimps.
I'm coming from the
damn Super Bowl next week, and we'll talk about that. By the way, there's a former Packer with the Chiefs. He's in the Super Bowl now. How's that working out for you?
No kidding, right? There we go. That's Mike Clemens. Appreciate it, buddy.
Bye.
That's Mike Clemens joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. He will be heading down to the Super Bowl with Bill Michaels, and I'll be going and meeting Bill Michaels here in a couple of minutes at the New Berlin Ale House here on 105.7 FM, The Fan, for the Bud Light Huddle. We'll wrap things up next, but first, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with Robert's Specialty Meats.
That's right, Robert's Specialty Meats. Winter weather means a desire for comfort food on your family's dinner table at the end of the day, and nobody does comfort food better than Robert's Specialty Meats. Paul Roberts has lots of options to make dinner time the best time of day, starting with one of his stuffed pork roasts, like the legendary Al Capone roast, combining several meats, cheeses, and seasonings all wrapped up into one awesome meal, which can be trimmed to suit your needs. You'll also find stuffed chicken breasts like the Door County Cherry, just oozing with that real cherry flavor. The best ground round for chili, plus over 30 varieties of original sausages and brats from mild to hot. Call Robert's Specialty Meats today at 262-549-MEAT, 262-549-MEAT. For the best selection to reserve your order, when you visit, be sure to pick up some of their Cherrywood smoked beef sticks or jerky, the ideal snack treats. You can also check them out online at robertspecialtymeatswaukesha.com for more information and money-saving coupons. For the best in meats, there's only one place. Robert's Specialty Meats, your hometown butcher. Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Steve Sparky Fiverr along with Baby Tausch, Billy Schmid. Make sure to check him out coming up in the New Berlin Ale House. Him and Bart Winkler and the big unit, Bill Michaels, Bud Light Huddle from 6 until 8 tonight on the Statewide Network. Gary Ellerson here in studio, former Packer and Badger running back, hanging out. So I got to know. So you being the biggest Zion Williamson fan I've ever come across in my life, Gary Ellerson.
I'm going to just say this. I'm not a Zion Williamson fan, but I'm a fan of guys that I think are really good and good for the NBA.
How long do you think it will take for you to change your opinion on how good he may or may not be? A couple of years? Or do you think it can be sooner than that?
How good you think he'll be?
Well, I've been saying like Zach Randolph type player.
He's better than that.
Well, and I'm willing to change my opinion.
He's better than that, but I don't know. We're talking about Kobe and Michael.
Oh, Lord. I'm not even close to that.
Sure. I don't know if that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, right.
But he's better than Zach
Randolph. About when we're talking about the Pfister Hotel?
Well, if we're talking about the Pfister Hotel, buddy, I love the Pfister Hotel. I love the Mason Street
Grill. No doubt about
bar
it.
Bar and grill.
Tremendous.
Guys, whether you want to enjoy the vibrant bar, bustling dining room, or elegant private space, experience the best of the area fresh cuisine, expert service, and unmatched atmosphere. Reserve your table today at masonstreetgrill.com. Two fabulous places right here in beautiful downtown Milwaukee, the Pfister Hotel, Restaurant, Bar, and next door, Mason Street Grill.
The Bud Light Huddle is next with Bill Michaels, myself, and Bart Winkler, live from the New Berlin Ale House, from Sparky, Gary, Leroy, Dan Plucker. Great job as always, man. We're back tomorrow at 2. Keep it right here. You got the fan.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.